has done.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, brothers.
Good evening, Pastor Cox.
Well, good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And blessings from a cold and wintry Wyoming. And we'll be standing by and know we've got a couple callers lined up, and we'll sure let you know when they come on.
All right. Thank you, sir. And we do welcome everybody back to Hope is Alive. We did take a couple weeks off. Richard had some family time down in Florida, so we took advantage of the break, and I'm refreshed and ready to go and glad to be back live. We do thank you for joining in with us. This is the show about testimony. And what is that testimony? Those who have been set free by the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. They're a great website. Got a lot of thought, well put together, and has just about everything you need there. It's available at the click of a mouse. Or you can get the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It is an excellent, excellent book. Got about 40 years worth of experience laid down in it. Step-by-step process to how to handle and cast out evil spirits to help heal and help do the things that set yourself free and give yourself that Jesus overhaul that Pastor Cox talks about often. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. If you need it, let him know and he will certainly get it out to you. And Pastor, as I was reading the book of Ephesians today, tonight before I came on, I was noticing something there in chapter 1 where it says, verse 19, "And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the works of the Spirit of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but of the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you know, I can reason that if we're the church and we're his body, and all that power was subjected to him, I would reason that power subjected, we have that same power as well. Wouldn't you?
Well, absolutely. In fact, in John 14:12, that's exactly what Jesus says. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, which is all the works you just mentioned, the works that I do, he shall do also. And what amazes me, if you read that on, it says, and even greater works. You and I are supposed to be doing the works of Jesus in his name, and we have that same power, same authority. We have the power of attorney, as we see it given to us, to speak in Jesus' name. I, as I've often said, I have to pinch myself on that one pretty often. Who, little me, do the same works of Jesus? But yes, we are believers, therefore we are under his authority to speak in his name. Isn't that awesome?
It is awesome. I mean, we are ambassadors in Christ, and ambassadors, when they go to talk to other countries, they have full authority to bargain and to make the deals and do everything as if they were the head of that country in that position. And that's what Jesus gave us. And it is a commission, and commission is often associated with the military. And just as the Roman centurion said to Jesus, I too am a man under authority. I tell someone to do this and he does it. I tell him to come and he comes. I tell him to go and he goes. And Jesus marveled and said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. And I think he marveled because he understood, and that man understood what authority was, and that's the same authority that we have today. So hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, and that's the authority that we use on Monday nights at Deliverance Ministries here in Oklahoma City. We only did seven cases this last Monday. We typically do about double that. But we were not speaking to the Father in Jesus' name, asking him to do something or to take these demons out. As he gave us this authority, all of the teams, all of the ministers were speaking directly to the situation, directly to the evil spirits, directly to the healing need, doing the works of Jesus in his name. And of course we watched the results. I had a great case. Every case seems to be great. It wasn't spectacular this last Monday. I could not get the hit demon up, which I often do. But I had to do basic, which was, instead of interrogating a demon and finding out about the demons under his authority and if there are any legal rights left for the demons to be there or any assignments that haven't been canceled, I had to just come against the spirits that he had circled on his problem list. You know, after we did the breaking of ungodly soul ties, this was after the door closing prayer as well, and the inner healing, dealing with the trauma doors, then I just worked the list, since I couldn't get the head demon up to interrogate it. And that works. That's what most of our ministers do, but we were doing it all directly in the name of Jesus, commanding these spirits to come out. And then he had a tremendous back healing. That was pretty awesome. His left leg was about an inch short. Of course, we were commanding directly for that leg to adjust out in Jesus' name. It was a little slow coming out. Most of them are faster. Probably took, I guess, close to a minute or so, maybe a minute and a half, and it came out a whole inch. The two people sitting in with me got to observe it. It blows me away every time. I've seen 42 years of those adjustments as we speak directly in Jesus' name now. But the doctor I had the week before, the Monday before, was a pain doctor, and he had pain in his back, actually in his knees. He had it in his back. He'd come the night a week before, got healing in his back, but he forgot to, as he told me, forgot to mention to the minister he had a problem with his knees, arthritis, and a problem with his feet. And the head demon admitted it had to do with the, it was responsible for the arthritis. So that was easy to deal with, and we cast out, when we cast out those spirits, his pain left. I never had to pray pain or pray healing, which, you know, that's another step we do. But when the spirits were gone, he had an automatic healing of his knees and his feet, and he was walking around the room checking himself out. So I'm still on a high from both of those, and it drives me on to do it again. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And, you know, when you're talking about the pain and talking about the gentleman with the back problems, what came to my mind was when Jesus commanded that spirit to come out of the woman who was doubled over. I think it said for 18 years. I don't remember. I get confused between those two healings and the issue of blood, but it specifically said it was bound by Satan for 18 years. I think it said 18 years. And
yes, that's right.
Obviously. Yeah, obviously this is the same case where a, you know, if a demon is coming and they're definitely under the authority of Satan, you could easily say that this person was bound over by Satan with back problems and pain, and that's what we come against, just as Jesus did. He commanded that to come out. Often he would deal with this, the sin issue with each person, and generally, he said, go and sin no more. I assume that he probably, I've always assumed that there was more spoken than what was just said and recorded in these scriptures, and he was probably dealing with some doors at the time as well, and to get them closed, but which was certainly the certainly telling him how to keep the doors closed when he always say, go and sin no more.
Exactly. So, well, sin is a door. That's why we have people repent of anything that's still there. Any sin, because demons will come through that door, so that makes a lot of sense when he dealt with and cast the thing out and then go and sin no more. That's probably the door came through.
Yes. Yes. But it is, it's just, it is humbling that little old me and you, little old everybody else out there, I mean, everybody here that's listening is a Christian, has this ability. This is not any special gift. Certainly there are those who are more gifted in this area than others, which is just like anything, maybe a little bit more discernment in the spirit, but it didn't say in Mark 16 that those who go through all the special training said believers.
Amen. And,
believers, yeah. Believers are you, me, Richard, and everyone else listening this evening, and we just encourage, well, come on here, we encourage you to understand this. Hopefully there's new people listening each week, or there's those who have been listening and being a little stiff-necked and not getting it. We hope that you do understand that this is everyday Christianity. This is part of the Great Commission. This is what Christians are supposed to do. And it's sad that we meet so many people who don't understand that. And but it is what's great is when you explain it to someone and they get it. They look in their eyes and they start, hey, that's right, I do. I was witnessing to some people last week about this. And, you know, it's like a light bulb went on.
Amen. How exciting to find out we have even all power over the enemy. Luke 10:19. All power to deal with these spirits, and even the promise that nothing will harm us as we go about doing it.
Now, my about 15, 20 minutes before I came on the air, my brother was texting me, asking me, what's those scriptures again? Of course, it was Luke 10:19, and it was Mark 16:11-18. I believe it is 11 through 18, and I said, well, you know, I quoted the scripture in Luke 10:19, and I said, now if you go back and read the context, they specifically were talking about casting out demons, them being subject in Jesus' name, and nothing shall harm you. And I said, and it's also backed up in the Great Commission that says you'll be able to handle deadly serpents and they shall not harm you. And I said, the deadly serpents is another referring to of the spiritual nature of our battle. And he was going to pass that on. He's passing it on to a friend of his. He's going to pass on this link. I don't know if he'll be able to listen to tonight. Hope he will. If not, maybe he'll catch the archive and help him. But, Pastor, we have Sydney. Sydney, thank you for calling this evening.
Of course. I'm glad to be on.
Hi. Yes, hi, Sydney. I'm so glad you called in. Ralph's there greeting you. And why don't you, Sydney, go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you may have seen, and then any experiences you'd like to share. So go right ahead, Sydney.
Sure, sure. So my name is Sydney Satchel. I'm originally from Connecticut. And I don't remember, I was born into a Christian family on both sides. I don't remember like a date where I was born again. I was baptized, water baptized, I believe when I was like 11 or 12 at New Year's service. My grandmother looked at me and she asked me, she's like, do you want to get baptized tonight? And I was like, absolutely. And so that was spontaneous. I felt like the Lord was really speaking to me. But I don't know a time in my life where I did not know the Lord or wasn't asking questions for myself. So that's bad. But when I came to Oklahoma, one of my spiritual mentors was like, you should go. I think it was more about me understanding spiritual warfare or just the demonic presence in our authority. I think that was what she was trying to teach me, and I came. But I think one of the awesome things is that I did not have any manifestation, but the peace that I received was like the peace that I received when I had my car accident in 2015 that led to the amputation of my leg. Like, the Lord reminded me of that peace without borders kind of an experience. So it was really awesome, and I think what the Lord is absolutely showing me as a 27-year-old black woman in Oklahoma is that we have to be aware of the devices that come against us, of our gender, our race, our belief, the things that torment our leaders, and then being able to, with skill and instruction, to come with that through the Holy Spirit, to combat that through the Holy Spirit. So that's kind of my 10-year from coming to Oklahoma and into deliverance ministry. I go to a non-denominational Pentecostal church, but we do believe in deliverance, and I think we're ushering in that part. And so I'm excited to be a part of that.
Yeah. So when after you received deliverance, then you decided you kind of wanted to learn how to do it. Is that right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's it been like?
For me, it was, I wanted to continue to edify or to build up the kingdom of God, right? Not necessarily just my church or my community, but I wanted to be able to combat the realities of this world that I see. You know, I am a professional athlete with Team USA, and so we do a lot of traveling, and so I was like, man, we'll be spending a lot of time in the airports. You know, how awesome would it be? You know, you have 15 minutes sitting next to someone that you'll never potentially see again and be able to change their life for generations. And so I was like, sign me up.
Yes, that's great. And you never know. I used to have what I called a ski lift ministry. We had a condo in Breckenridge, Colorado for 13 years, and of course, we had an aircraft that left a Suburban at the airport in Denver, and we could fly up there in a couple hours and get in the Suburban, drive an hour and a half through the tunnel, Highway 70, and be in Breckenridge, and we even had seasonal passes. But I used to talk about my ski lift ministry, especially on the long ski lifts, and you know, you're sitting next to someone, well, they can't escape you.
Exactly.
I'd ask them, well, are you a born-again Christian? And then I'd see what they say, you know, we go from there. And I got a few people, by the time we got to the top of the ski lift, to get out of the chairs, but then I got them born again on the way up. So,
that's incredible.
I understand what you're saying. And same thing if you're sitting next to someone in an airplane, well, they can't go anywhere, so they can't jump up and leave. So you kind of have a captive audience to visit with them, a good opportunity to share Jesus. So that's exciting, Sydney. So if you, what else have you done along those lines?
Should I ask the question again?
What else have you done along those lines in ministry, in getting people born again in different places?
Understood. So I think for me, it's always in the relationship. For whatever reason, the Lord allows me to cross paths with people who are walking away from their belief to snag them back. And for me, I'm representing Jesus, right? So I'm re-evangelizing, if you will. And so there's been countless times where they're like, I don't really do that Jesus thing anymore. And I'm like, why? And so I capture them. I share a new perspective, whether it be someone who was carrying the title of believer or faith carrier, did not necessarily steward the relationship, or maybe it was, you know, a bad, they didn't understand their promise, or their right, or their authority in God, or they didn't have a tangible understanding of God. And so there was this one time, I was talking to, no, we were at 6 a.m. prayer. It was a couple months ago. We were at 6 a.m. prayer. My church, we do a young adult 6 a.m. prayer. If you imagine a bunch of millennials getting up at 6 to really intercede for their city and their country at 6 a.m., it's possible. We are doing it here in Oklahoma City. And so we were at 6 a.m. prayer, and this girl, woman, was having, no one knew it. We were coming down with 6 a.m. prayer, and I went over to her. I was like, did you receive everything that you needed from the Lord? And she was like, what do you mean? She, you know, kind of moving in her chair, shifting. And I was like, no, the Holy Spirit sent me over here to ask that question, so I'm going to ask it again. And so what I was able to do was to represent Christ to her in a way that her depressive state, that I would even call it the spirit of depression, was on her so much that the Spirit would allowed her to pray for other people, but would not allow her to pray for herself. It was literal a block. She was like, I have not been able to pray for myself for months, you know, for a while now. And so a bunch of us gathered around her and prayed her, and really spoke and was just casting things out. And this was before. This was while I was going through the training, right? So I was like, okay, what did Everett say? What did the deliverance ministry say? Because I was taking it seriously. I was really digesting everything that was going, that was being shared in, you know, the deliverance ministry. And so I took head on that, and it was incredible because there was this moment where she literally was on the floor, you know, crying and praying and, you know, speaking in our heavenly language, kind of warring on her behalf. And there was this wonderful moment. She literally popped up, springed up off the floor, and was walking with urgency around the church, really praying and declaring, almost aggressively, like there was a new roar in her tummy, like there was a lion that came alive. And I believe that was the Holy Spirit coming alive in her again, right? So for me, it's not just new believers, but it's the dormanted believers that have not been able to access parts of their authority or parts of their rights as children of God, right? So it's been awesome to do that type of ministry, but it's also to plant seeds. I like I said, I played professional sports, and in that realm, you have a lot of different belief systems, and so it's been awesome. I was on a plane actually coming back from, I think it was Peru, and I was talking to one of my teammates, and I was like, wait, you went to a Christian school? And that's when you knew, and that's when I knew, okay, we can have this conversation. This is going to be good. And so he was like, I mean, I was taught the Bible, but I don't understand the Bible. And so I use the opportunity to really minister to him. And so I think it's important when people bring up those connective points to really find out and to really care about what they're caring about, so you can really make that lasting change. Because what I never want to do is be so insensitive in the Spirit of God that anybody comes one in my, you know, in my environment wanting Jesus, but I wasn't sensitive enough to the Spirit to present them Jesus or to point back to Jesus, or even to, you know, minister to them in the way of deliverance and to speak life into their lives. So what I'm learning in the deliverance ministry is creating a boldness in me, right? So I walk in the gift of faith, right? So I have the faith of God. And sometimes when you have the faith, it's easy to just stay in that belief and not necessarily do the work. So I'm grateful for the deliverance ministry to lead me and show me how I have to be matching my faith with the work, with the action in everyday world. So when I do see the person with the crutches, or when I do see the person who wears glasses, right, because that is even a point of deliverance, it is one of those things that I am learning, and I am, like, soaking it up. It, like, energizes me when you can see the torment of a person who walks into a room, but when they leave, it is very clear that the power of Jesus Christ has invaded their mind, their heart, and their soul. So it is truly a blessing to be a part of the ministry, but also to be learning from veterans, from men, from women who've gone to other countries, and it's, and what we've been taught works, and then people are like, yeah, you know, this worked on me, and that they keep, in deliverance is a process, right? It is a continual process. So it's been really, really awesome to be able to use that and to even share with my family. We believe in deliverance, but I don't know that we've always been taught deliverance. And so I'm going back, you know, having conversations with my mom and my grandmother, and like, do you believe that there are witches? Witches are real. And they're like laughing at me. They're like, absolutely, they're real. I was like, why didn't you never tell me this? You know? So it's just a process of, even though that I've been in the church, a lover of the Lord, a servant of the Lord in his church, reading his word, not really understanding that there are all these different levels of torment or levels of principalities that have been against me for so long. So it's been really, really cool to have my eyes wide open when I go in prayer to intercede for different things. So it's been a true, true, true blessing for sure.
Yes, and I can see, Sydney, you have the opportunity for what I would call prayer line ministry. That was when I was an active pastor in a local church here. One of the pastors, and you know, we'd have altar calls for salvation, but for everything, and people would come forward and they'd say, well, I've got this fear problem. Well, I only got a few minutes, you know, so we don't have the luxury of going through like what we do on Monday night, you know. But I would often find out if they had anyone they needed to forgive real quick, best I could, for a few minutes, and then I'd come against fear. And they might have some yawns, feel something come out. Sometimes they go down under the power. I'd go down there on my knees with them, continue commanding fear to come out. And then I'd get reports later, you know, after the few minutes, they'd get up and so on. But even then, we all find ourselves in situations where we only have a short time to minister to somebody. And even then, you can help them. Certainly with salvation, but even with a short deliverance situation, So I can see you're going to have many more opportunities along those lines.
That is definitely my prayer. There's something about it. When I see somebody with glasses, when I see somebody with a cane, a cast, it's like, yes, Lord, do it. And so even with the ministry, deliverance ministry, it's teaching me boldness, right? Because I believe it for me, but do I also believe it for them, right? And the answer is yes, always. But it's literally just doing it. And so I'm excited about being able to be the vessel, be the pure vessel that, you know, Holy Spirit can work miracles through, that I would be, that I would just follow as he leads and not do anything outside of him, but definitely follow as he leads. So it's been like extremely exciting. And so I look forward to the thousands of millions of miracles that will happen because of that obedience, just to be taught, right? Our, you know, we die from the lack of knowledge. I think there has been some death that people have, families have, or that are grieving, that could have been resolved from a knowledge of deliverance. And so I want to be able to bring that, not to just my church, but to expose that to the kingdom of God, which I think is essential for our ability to really, really capture the attention of the non-believers, the church hurt, and et cetera.
Praise God. And Sydney, going through the training as you are and setting in, have you set in on some interesting cases?
Absolutely. Yes. Not dramatic, but like incredibly interesting. So there was one guy, one woman who kept burping, like really shallow, but they were very consistent. Almost like even at the beginning, when the person who was leading the ministry like did our like prayer of like, Lord, you know, Holy Spirit, use me, you know what I mean, like at the beginning of the ministry, like it just was coming out, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And so at the end, we were doing, I believe it was in our healing, in, you know, like at the part where it's like, Lord, you know, show her if there's anything left in there, you know what I mean, in this particular category. And she opened her eyes and she looked and tilted her head kind of weird. She was like, homosexuality? She's like, I've never, and she like felt the need to like confess, like, I've never done it, never been, but the seed, the door was, the spirit of homosexuality was in her, even though it had not manifested into relationships or even in thought. It still had the right to be there, and so we had to explore this, and it was, she was so embarrassed, but it was one of those things that even though I realize even now that even though the seed was planted, it didn't manifest. So just imagine, you know, the seeds that have been planted in myself or just in people in general, that have not manifested but still had the right to be in there. And so that was super interesting because she was almost embarrassed about it. You know what I mean? She wasn't embarrassed about anything else that, you know, was coming out of her, or, you know, the burping and things like that. But I thought
I had a case.
It was just cool to see.
Yeah, I ran into a homosexuality demon here recently. Well, Sydney,
wow.
We're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing. It was a great and very interesting testimony, and praise God for your thrust in going forth all over the world.
Amen. Thank you for having me.
Okay,
thank
bye-bye.
Thank you for coming on this evening.
Bye-bye.
You can hear such joy in her voice.
Yes,
this is what's awesome about these testimonies that come on is is the joy that's there. And I like how you use the airport as a ministry and you use the ski lift. You sure, Pastor, they weren't just trying to run from you when you're on the ski lift?
Well, they couldn't as long as they were in the chair going up the hill. It was on this long ski lift, you know.
but it is. That's an excellent time. I see that we have Mark, but Mark just a second. It is an excellent time to witness to people. Use those opportunities. Just any time you can to share Jesus, just do it. And what's so great about deliverance is after deliverance you have this boldness. You're not embarrassed. You just have this boldness to do it, and it doesn't, you know, and personally to me, it doesn't bother me like it used to when people reject it, because I realize they're not rejecting me. They're rejecting the word. But,
yeah.
We have Mark, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Yeah, hi Mark, I'm so glad you called in. Mark, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and any other experiences. So go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I was born again in September 1981. My brother had actually died 2 months before in a car accident, and that's really what kind of woke me up. Before I got born again, I was addicted to drugs and pot, and you know, I knew there had to be something better in life, you know, more fulfilling than just partying and just the possessions of the world. A man at work, he had been witnessing to me, and also a neighbor across the street, and you know, I accepted Jesus. And he took away my desires for the drugs, and I started to go to church, and then I was baptized about 4 months later.
Praise God.
I'd actually heard about Deliverance Ministries from a friend, and that was, I guess, back in 2008. And I went through the ministry. It really helped me. I've been dealing with some anger and rejection for years since my childhood. I had some feelings of unworthiness and, I guess, inferiority from my parents dying when I was 8. My brother, you know, he kind of picked on me a lot, and he moved out when I was 13, and I kind of always looked up to him, you know, kind of as a father figure, and I guess I had some feelings of rejection I needed to get work, you know, deal with, and you know, soon after that is when I really started smoking pot and trying to deal with pain that way. So
mm-hmm.
you know, the I went through deliverance, and it, you know, it took away my anger and the rejection, and yeah, it just made me feel so I guess refreshed and new inside my spirit, and you know, just something that it's just a cleansing, or a, like you kind of say, it's an overhaul in your spirit. And I guess in 2014, I brought my girlfriend's son to deliverance because he was fearful of germs and things and being unclean, and it helped him. And you know, I tried to, at that time I got one of your books, and I was trying to help him, you know, work with it in the following weeks. So but I'd you know, the ministry steps are really laid out, you know, in order to make it easier to minister to people. And yeah, I started training just a few weeks ago to try to do this, and yeah, it's just so good to see people being changed and set free and seeing their joy return to them. So it's something.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so fulfilling. You said it with me this last Monday, Mark, and that was kind of a hard case in a way, in that he didn't feel a thing. I've done many cases over the years where I go through the whole, all the steps, and the person doesn't feel a thing. You know, mm-hmm. And the first one I ever ran into like that, which was many, many decades ago, well, I don't know how long ago, 30, 40 years ago, my daughter was with me, and we ministered, we did minister to this woman. We'd gone actually out to her house. She was living with her parents, young lady, and she couldn't even speak, much less appear to feel anything. The parents had to fill out the problem list, and we went through the steps the best we could and came against things, and and it looked like nothing happened. And I remember we walked out, and my daughter and I looked at each other, and we said, what did we miss on this case, you know? We thought nothing had happened. Well, her father was a member of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship, and I saw him at the weekly luncheons on Friday. And so each week I would see him. He kept telling me how she had changed, and finally she had changed so much she went back to school, got her degree in nursing, and then I don't know, it was a year or two later, he told me how she was even heading up some wing in some hospital or something. And it just goes to show, though, it didn't look like anything happened, but it did. And that's kind of the case we had Monday night, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seemed like he didn't really seem to have any outward manifestations, or you know, he's really quiet and reserved, and you know, he really didn't say that much about it. So, you know, I guess a lot of people, when they go through it, they're probably pretty nervous about it, or not really knowing what to expect either.
Right. Well, it was kind of one interesting thing there. I remember his left leg, it was about an inch short.
Mm-hmm.
And we prayed over it. It was slow, but it finally came out a good inch. And that was pretty exciting to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, the you know, the limb checks, and it's just the physical healing, and I guess the inner healing that you did within, you know, trying to do through childbirth, and, you know, trying to help them there, and, you know,
yes,
the
yes, he'd had a tough growing up with his dad was particularly tough, sounded like, and anyway, after we prayed for his came against and commanded his legs to adjust. Remember how we had him check, walk around the room and check himself out? He had a spine problem. And you remember what he said? He couldn't find any pain.
Yeah, he said, you know, when he usually bent over, I guess, to touch his shoes, usually that's when it hurt him. And he said he didn't have anything there. So, you know, it's just great to, you know, see the people healed that way.
I know, it drives you on to do it again. I was on a high just from that, but what put me on even a further high, he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues, and he had a good prayer language, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I know a lot of people, they don't know what to expect, and they just have to let, you know, the Holy Spirit take over and let him, you know, give you the words to speak, so... Yeah, you know, everybody's prayer language is different.
Yes, when I had my hand on his head, it got unusually hot. So hot that I could feel the sweat under my hand on his head. The Holy Spirit was doing something to him. So again, while he didn't seem to feel much, there's no way he wouldn't be better. And I would say he got a good Jesus overhaul, amen.
Yeah, I know he did. So it's, you know, it's really good to see all the steps you went through, and just to see the change in him.
He did look better, and you know, one thing I noticed, his voice was real low when we started. And as we went through working the list, commanding spirits to come out, did you notice how he started getting a louder?
Yeah, I mean, I think he started to see, he probably was feeling something inside that he can, you know, he said that at first that he felt something, and, you know, I think he really understood that how it was working, and wanted to try to help do whatever he could to get the rest of the demons out of there.
Yeah, it was, it was kind of a timid-like case, and it was obvious he was coming out of his shell as we went more along. To me, his voice even was coming up in volume and all, so I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet, but again, as I often say, you go through all that, all those steps, the door closing prayer and everything, they've got to be better. You know, we're bound to have hit something. And probably a lot, praise God. Well, Mark, in your when you were ministered to, did you feel the spirits coming out or anything?
I think I'd actually coughed or yawned a couple times and you know, had the manifestation that way. So
yeah,
you know, it's something that, you know, is more of a coughing and breathing out. So.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Does it usually have a physical symptom to it, or a physical manifestation, I guess?
No. It's every now and then I run into them, just like the one you sat in on. I find that I can get the head demon up in about 1 out of 3. So, and often when they can hear Jesus in the inner healing, dealing with the traumas of the past, and Jesus is talking to them about it, if they can hear Jesus, then it's quite likely, I've noticed, I'll be able to get the head demon up where I can interrogate it, and it's talking through the person's mouth. But he didn't hear Jesus in the inner healing, and sure enough, I tried to get the head demon up, but just couldn't get it, so I had to work the list, which took quite a while. But thank you for using your Bible, and we, of course, found the Bible. Touching with the Bible is a real edge. These spirits, I first learned it from a pastor in Arkansas probably 30 years ago or more. And he had said in deliverance, if the person feels a demon moving in their body, that if you'll take the Bible and touch on the spot where they feel the spirit, that the spirit or demon will run from it. And I started trying that. If the guy said, oh, I feel it over here on my left shoulder, and I take the Bible and touch on that spot, well, then they'd likely say, oh, it's moved up to my neck now. So I'd move the Bible up to his neck, and then the person might likely say, well, it's at the top of my head now. So I'd take the Bible, move up the top of his head. Often I'll open the Bible and put it on his head. I know it looks a little funny, but it does work well. And usually the spirit will blow out in 2 or 3 seconds with the Bible on the top of his head. So that's like a sword to those spirits. There's a scripture, Ephesians 6:17, talks about how the word is a sword, like a sword. I never thought about the physical word. I knew speaking the word was like a sword, but apparently to these spirits, even the physical word, they'll run from it. So we use that in our ministry a lot, and I've noticed many times there's not any reaction. I'm commanding something to come out, and I'll take the Bible and put it right in their midsection and touch the Bible there, and then it'll manifest, or the person is feeling it. It's moving now in their body. So it's just another weapon of warfare. We have, you know, you could use a cross and probably do the same thing, but we all in the spirit-filled world gospel world, we always have our Bibles with us, so that's our weapon is real handy. So I just always use the Bible. Anointing with oil will tend to jar them loose as well. But speaking the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus is the primary. Well, have you set in on some other interesting cases, Mark?
Well, I've sat in on one other one where the minister had actually put one Bible on their back and one Bible on their front, and then they went through all the steps and just really when you start to understand what some of these people have gone through and it really gives you compassion and a heart for these people that this is the way to set them free.
Amen. And of course we're speaking in the name of Jesus at the same time of the blood of Jesus and quoting Luke 10:19 that in Jesus' name we have power over all the enemy. Nothing will harm us, and just keep commanding it to go. Every case is so different. It's what's amazing. And if you notice that, Mark, that whatever case you sat in on before, the next one's different.
Yeah, I mean, it's so much different. And I guess the one other one I sat in on, I mean, you could just see his facial expressions just change. And he was getting so much amount of relief, I guess, and just joy out of it. And he's actually there the next week. And he said hi, but he was still smiling. And he'd actually, I think he brought somebody with him back next week. So, I mean, it's just amazing what it can do, in people's lives.
Amen.
I mean,
amen.
He'd gone through, we went through the inner healing quite a bit with him and they were able to pull up the head demon and be able to get them out, get him to come out. And, I mean, we did the physical healing with him with the limb checks and getting everything aligned and the baptism of the Holy Spirit also. So,
yes.
And that he was so happy by the time, we left, and then even the next week. So it's just, just using the scriptures and using your outline just works so well that, it's so good to see people set free.
Yes. It's so fulfilling. I'm sure you're starting to notice that. It's just, you can't help but be on a high after you've sat in and seen that happen with somebody sitting in front of you and they come in looking so depressed and all, and then to see them at the end of the ministry session, I all those years in the business world, flying airplanes and all, and hunting and fishing, etc., I've had highs, but this is the greatest high of all. Amen.
Yes, amen. I mean, just the change in people's lives, and I mean, there's just, it gives you the joy that they're receiving also. So, it's really good.
Well, Mark, in the remaining time we have, what else would you say to the, anything else you'd like to share, or what else would you say to the listeners?
Well, I just, that one scripture, Luke 10:19, that's also been one of my favorite scriptures for years. And, just meditating on the scriptures and speaking them out loud and, just, after you get free to be able to stay free, you have to keep continually being in the Word and speaking the Word and just being aware of, once you start to understand with the spirit world a little bit better, you can understand where all this is coming from and give you a better sense of your defensive and actually your offensive abilities to keep the devil away from you and keep any sickness away from you. You know, there's so much that Jesus has given us with his word and his spirit that, you know, we can be set free and keep free.
Amen. And we give those people the steps for staying free and to do those I ams of who they are in Jesus, all part of it. Well, Mark, great testimony. Thank you so much for sharing. And have a blessed time, brother. I look forward to seeing you Monday.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, thank you for having me. You have a blessed night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, two more testimonies under our belt. Over the past several years, we've got hundreds of them. Praise the Lord. Thank you again for these people that come on and take time out of the day to give a testimony, and they all give glory to Jesus, and it's just so awesome to hear the changes in their lives. I know the changes that made in my life, I know the changes that made in your life, Pastor. And that change can be in your life, too. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, or get the book, Through the Supernatural Works of Jesus, you can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. Everybody needs that Jesus overhaul. Don't put it off. If you haven't done deliverance, considering it, we encourage you to do it. But, Pastor, we'll talk to you next week. We thank everybody for joining us this evening. God bless. Have a great evening.
God bless everybody.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy.